Investment flash.
Morning, buddy. Yen just punched through 160 last session, and the momentum trade of the decade might be falling apart. We've got Intervention Watch, a record coking coal month, and a Wall Street Journal piece that reframes the whole factor game. This is a good one.
Good morning, and welcome to the London edition for Monday, August 31st, 2026. I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald. Today's tape is a mix of intervention alerts and factor unwinds, with a side of commodity squeeze.
And Tom, before we dive in, yesterday I was selling long-duration treasuries. Today, the signals are telling me to buy them. Either I'm early or the bond market's just messing with me.
Gerald, buddy, you were early last year too, and it paid off. But first, the yen. Dollar-yen punched through 160 last session, and traders are now on intervention watch. That was the old red line.
Wait, see, this is exactly what I mean. 160 isn't just a number. It's a financial stability line. Tokyo has acted here before. The question isn't whether intervention happens, it's how violent the reversal is, and whether the Ministry of Finance steps in before Friday.
Yeah, look, the yen's flirted with 160 before, and Tokyo didn't blink. You're buying optionality on something that might just be a slow drift. The long yen trade decays if they do nothing by Friday.
But that's the point, Gerald. If they do step in, the yen snaps back hard. The yen ETF is the cleaner expression than fighting the dollar yen directly.
And if they don't, the drift continues and the carry trade stays alive. Two-sided binary, exactly as the digest says. I'd rather own the option than the pair. All right, the takeaway says momentum's unraveling is the real story, and I think that's right. The Wall Street Journal piece is the most original framing today. Momentum wasn't a factor, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wait, Murray, you're telling me buying winners was just a crowded trade all along? I've been riding that wave for years, buddy.
And now the wave's going backwards, Tom. Momentum factor ETF is the exit door. No valuation floor, just everyone trying to fit through at once.
That's the whole thing. If it was reflexive, not fundamental, the unwind has no anchor. Value is the beneficiary, not just ahead. The digest nails it. A self-fulfilling trade running in reverse doesn't show up in a valuation screen until after it's already happened.
Okay, but the bear case is this. Momentum could just be taking a few weeks off. That piece is one observer. Factor rotations have false starts all the time.
Tom, you've been saying that about every momentum dip since like 2023. Remember your semis call in Q2?
Haha, fair enough. But if value's the destination, the value factor ETF is where I'd park some dry powder.
Exactly.
That's it.
100%.
All right, on the income side, top analysts are circling three energy dividend payers, Exxon, Expand Energy, and Diamondback. Morgan Stanley has a $177 target on Exxon. Goldman's raising Expand and Diamondback targets too.
Buddy, Exxon's yielding 2.6% and has raised its dividend for 43 straight years. That's not a trade, that's an annuity.
It's a 2.6% yield when the 10 years probably higher. The defensive pitch is low leverage and Permian output, not oil's next leg. I'll take it, but don't call it exciting.
Your real signal here is that income is still in demand, even with energy prices volatile. Expand Energy pays a base dividend of about 57.5 cents on September 3rd. The income buyers are showing up.
Only Gerald could turn a 43-year dividend streak into a boring comment.
Fair. I like boring when it pays.
In semis, Longsys is seeking up to 6.28 billion Hong Kong dollars in a listing. That's about 800 million US, after its onshore shares already ran up 50% this year on AI memory demand.
And that lands the same week as SemiCon Taiwan, where Google, Microsoft, and NVIDIA executives are talking advanced packaging. TSMC is the winner here, but the new issue might be late to a very hot trade.
50% year to date, and now they want more capital. That's not a supply chain story. That's someone selling into strength.
Come on, Gerald. AI memory demand is real. The semiconductor ETF keeps grinding higher off this.
But the new issue is exactly the kind of thing that marks a local top sometimes. Don't chase.
Exactly. If you're buying semis here, buy quality. TSMC, not a listing that's already had its run.
Hong Kong commercial real estate distress is easing, not over. HIBOR around 2.6% in mid-August versus 7-8% at the end of 2023. That's a huge drop in debt service costs.
Wait, that's the interest rate on Hong Kong interbank loans? It went from 8 to 2.6? That's like going from a credit card to a mortgage.
It matters because big ticket deals above 50 million Hong Kong dollars jumped 120% year over year to 22.3 billion. Offices alone were 15.1 billion. Link REIT's overhang is lifting.
But banks are still releasing distressed assets and mortgagee sales persist. So the leveraged owners who haven't refinanced yet, not out of the woods.
Right, so Sun Hung Kai remains a watch, not a buy. The valuation correction has fed into pricing, but refinancing risk is the tail.
Coking Coal just posted its largest monthly gain on record. Output disruptions and tougher safety checks in China squeezing supply. For miners, that's a margin story. Coal Miners ETF and China Shenhua both catch the rising price.
A record month of safety inspections. That's policy-driven, not demand-driven. The risk is inspections ease and production normalizes, then the squeeze unwinds.
But the signal is that Chinese supply discipline is real for now. The record gain is the point, not the nuance. If you want exposure, the Coal Miners ETF is the cleanest way.
I like Coal Miners ETF here as a momentum trade in commodities, but with a tight stop, because Gerald's right that policy can flip.
Fair enough.
Sungrow's profit tumbled almost a third. One of the world's biggest renewable equipment makers, and the stock slumped. Bloomberg frames it as a margin pressure warning for solar equipment, not just a one-off. If a leader is bleeding margin, the sector's cost curve has not normalized.
So a leader is bleeding margin. The sector's cost curve hasn't normalized. I'd watch solar equities ETF rather than short it until peers confirm the squeeze.
Sungrow? More like Sunglow, then dimmed. Too soon? I'll see myself out.
Oh, that's awful. But he's not wrong. The miss tests the whole space.
Quick reminder, as always, none of this is investment advice. We're just talking through today's signals.
On the Fed, Warsh's speech fanned hike bets, but ABN AMRO and Brandywine are pushing back. They're skeptical he actually tightens rather than just talks hawkish.
So if bond managers are right, long-duration treasuries are cheap versus the hike odds. That's a big divergence between markets and managers.
Hold on. This is the counter to yesterday's sell long-duration call, right? Warsh was deliberate, and the front-end repricing might be real. The bond managers could be the crowded trade.
That's exactly my worry, Marie. I had sell long duration yesterday. Today, the signal flips to buy on skepticism. This is why the bond market is a revolving door.
But if Warsh is just talking, the long end rebounds hard. I'd rather be long duration into a possible dovish surprise than short into a hawkish one.
The intermediate treasuries ETF is the safer expression. Less curve risk. Still picks up the duration bed.
Right. The intermediate treasury ETF is the play.
Yeah, less drama than the long end.
Spot on.
In Japan mergers and acquisitions, Itochi will take Dianzhu Soken private in a $1.3 billion tender, ending the parent subsidiary listing with Dianzhu Group.
Tom's shares always converge on the offer price once terms are out. Dianzhu Soken is a clean event art play.
But Itochu pays a premium, which reduces cash near term. The buyer side is ambiguous. You're removing a listed subsidiary discount, but at what cost?
Right, so watch Itochu, buy Dianzhu Soken only if you like the event, not the group restructuring.
Sheen priced its IPO at $26 billion, a fraction of the $100 billion peak, and starts trading in Hong Kong on Tuesday. That's a bellwether for risk appetite.
Some investors still think that may prove rich, given the growth outlook. A down round removes private market air, but not COVID-era growth assumptions.
$26 billion is a fire sale from $100 billion, but a fire sale can still be overpriced if the building's already burned.
Fair enough. For Hong Kong equities and China Internet, this is a sentiment test. If the debut pops, it lifts the whole complex.
And if it doesn't, it confirms the valuation reset isn't done. Watch, don't chase.
Gerald may be justified in raising its 25% domestic debt allocation because Japanese bond yields have climbed sharply, the world's largest pension fund becoming a marginal JGB buyer would anchor yields.
And nobody is stitching this together with the weak yen. A weaker yen pressures JGB yields, which makes the GPIF allocation case more urgent. That crosslink is missing in the press.
If they buy more JGBs, Global Bond ETF gets a bid, and Japan equities might catch a spillover bid too. But no allocation change is imminent.
Exactly. It's a policy debate, not a decision. Watch the yen and yields together.
All right, that's the tape for this London edition. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources. We'll be back at 9 a.m. New York time for the New York edition.